If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi there, this is Mike Kegley. Welcome to Eye on the Illini. We have a special episode for you this week. Larry Smith, Illini Guys Sports Spectacular and Big Sports Radio host, sat down and talked with former Lion and Bear quarterback Eric Kramer. Now, the former NFL quarterback left a lasting legacy on the field, a 10-year career highlighted by being the only quarterback to lead the Detroit Lions to a playoff victory since they last won a league championship back in 1957. But Kramer will be forever known as something far greater, miraculously surviving a 2016 suicide attempt and his efforts now to help others avoid the dark places that he fell into. Eric Kramer has a new book called The Ultimate Comeback: Surviving a Suicide Attempt, Conquering Depression, and Living with a Purpose. You can purchase it on Amazon.com. Larry sat down with Kramer and talked to him about what led to that tragic night, the details of his comeback, and his plans for reaching out to others suffering from depression. We'll be right back in a minute with Larry talking to Eric Kramer.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info in recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Right back here on the show, Larry Smith with you, Brad Sturdy, Mike Kegley as well, as we continue in this. Here we are in December. Mentioned the name Eric Kramer earlier in the show. 10 years in the NFL. Someone that whose career I followed back when he was in college at NC State. You know, I'm a Bear fan, so this is my guy. We met back in 2004 at a chance meeting at a Sports Illustrated party at the Super Bowl in Houston and kept in touch. And as I mentioned, Eric has a new book out that, first off, it's good to talk with him again, but really want to talk about this book. And it is called The Ultimate Comeback: Surviving a Suicide Attempt, Conquering Depression, and Living with a Purpose. And this is, again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, an interview that of all the interviews that we've done, I think this is a really important one for you to stop and spend a few minutes with us. Eric Kramer now joining us. Eric, it's good to see you. Thanks again for your time today.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be here and having a chance to talk to you, talk a little football, and we'll talk a few moments about this book, of course.
Yeah, let's start with some of the fun stuff first, shall we? Because this is pretty deep. It's very important. We, as you and I met each other, our eyes met and like, hey, I know that guy. It was because of football, because you were the Bears quarterback and had a very good run there with the Bears. And again, as a long-suffering Bear fan, I was ridiculed as a kid in grade schools. I wore a Bears jacket in the time that the Cowboys were big and et cetera, et cetera. Right. Do you still watch a lot of football and do you watch the Bears? That's another question you should ask.
Yeah. I pull for obviously the Bears and the Lions, so I always get asked like, "Who do you pull for when they both play each other?" I'm like, "Both, of course."
It's always a win-win for you. It's a good day.
Can't lose. That's right. So and so I do. I do pay attention to the games. I pay attention to college, less college, more pro. But NC State, as you mentioned earlier, has a big game tonight. In fact, very soon against the rival UNC. So I do pay attention to it. It's fun to watch it. And I know the Bears have struggled for these last 2-3 years and 20, if you want to add them all together. But I personally think that they've got a lot of good players in place. I think Ryan Poles has done a really good job as a general manager. It's the only time in my lifetime where the McCaskey family turned the reins over to a legit, very directed guy. And I think he's done a great job to this point. And I know we share the Bears, you know, long-suffering, emotional ups and downs, more downs. But I also played for the Lions. Yeah. And conversely, their season up until these last couple of weeks has gone really well. And I think that's the model of the two teams, because they've kind of mirrored each other for all these years.
Yeah.
I kind of think the Bears are gonna step right in line with what the Lions have done. And I know they've stubbed their toe, the Lions meeting, the last couple of weeks. But if you look at the organization from top to bottom, and the way they're laid out, the Brad Holmes and the coaching staff and the players, I called up Chris Spielman last year, and it was probably, I want to say the Lions at that time were probably like 1-2, 1-3, something like that. And I go, how is it you guys are looking so good right now? He goes, this coaching staff is ridiculous.
Nice.
And so if you have that, then over time, your train just keeps going like that.
Yeah.
And you're going to hit a bump in the road here and there, but by and large, you're not going to sway very much. And so I think that's what, you know, the Lions of all teams could now consider themselves one of those teams that, forget the record for a moment, from an organizational standpoint, they're pretty damn good. And I think that's where the Bears would like to jump into. They like to make, it would be a good step, a big step, but that's the one they want to make.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure my research is accurate on this. You remain the only quarterback since the 1957 NFL championship to lead the Lions to a playoff victory. Am I right? Look at you smiling.
That is unfortunately true, Larry, but I think that's going to change this year. There's not a lot in life you can guarantee, but I would guarantee the Lions win a playoff game this year.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. And listen, we all would like to see that. I mean, I don't root for the Lions the way that you do, but I think that, the people of Detroit are some of the best people ever. I've always enjoyed every time I've been up there, for personal or professional reasons. And so I totally agree with you.
If you think Chicago is starved for a winning team of any kind,
yeah,
so is Detroit.
Yeah.
They're like, next door brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and to your point, just keep stumbling and kind of unforced errors on their own. You're exactly right. The 10-year career. And I know that you've mentioned, you talk about in the book and shared in other interviews and things that, look, everything went well. I mean, you were, undrafted, you fought your way through 10 years, made a name for yourself again, made money, did very well. And seemed like things were going well. You're leading that. I mean, who among us would not want to be a handsome retired NFL quarterback who's, is financially doing well and just go play golf, do what you want to do, right? I mean, it's kind of where we all would be. But I guess I kind of would like to, if we could dive into the night in the hotel. And as I mentioned earlier, that a suicide attempt, and we're all thankful that it failed.
Yeah.
Can you
me included, by the way?
You include, exactly. So it is. If I were
put me at the top of that list.
Yeah, we're talking virtually, but I would hug you if I were there with you, because I am. I'm thankful that it didn't work. You don't have to go into too great a detail, but in your words, just kind of tell us kind of what happened and how you got to that point.
So, the first time, I had dealt with what's known as depression, even as a player, meaning back in 1994, when I first went from the Lions to the Bears, that was the first team since youth football that had ever come to say, hey, we want you to be the guy. So you mentioned I didn't get drafted out of college. I didn't get recruited out of high school. So I didn't play quarterback in high school. In fact, I wanted to. I just kept getting beat out. Yeah. And then I went to a junior college, and in fact, the first year there, they had a guy coming back that had already had a good freshman season. So I did what they call grayshirting. So I went part-time. So the next year I was a backup at Pierce. And then I finally got my chance to play. We were pretty good. And so that's how I got a chance to go to NC State. But they also recruited, and two other guys went from California, junior college guy.
Okay.
So there was nowhere along the way did anyone say, hey, clearly you're our guy. So when I go to Chicago, the fact that somebody actually did that made me jump up and down in the bed one night after going there. And then literally, like, I can't believe this is happening. And it was the second year, I believe, of free agency. Well, the season rolls around, and I'm starting, and we're, you know, I don't know, three or four games into the season, and I separate a shoulder versus, I think it was Minnesota. And so we're probably, I don't know, it's like a six-week injury, right? So 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. And so when I was ready to play, I think I played one game and we didn't win. And then I'm back on the bench again. And so now you got, okay, I'm paying to be played or paying to play, but no. So I felt like I wasn't really. So that's the first time I ever came in line with something called depression. And so, and it kind of comes and it goes in my life back then. And so, you're alluding to the fact of my suicide attempt. So that wasn't until 2015. And the events leading up to that, my then wife and I were separated. Mm-hmm. And what happened, this is back we got separated, I want to say 2010, early 2010. Griffin had been, that was my older son, Griffin had been in his 10th grade year of his high school years, went into a drug rehabilitation center, meaning he left school to go to this place called Visions for, I think it was, I want to say 3 months, so 90 days. And from there, he went to their outpatient program. So he lived at home, basically to sleep, and go to this inpatient program or outpatient, excuse me. And then it was about a year, let's say, you know, 13, 14 months ish. And I could tell along the way, he went from, thank God you have me here, to he could see the finish line coming. And it was like, oh, that was his brainwashing. Hmm. And I said, uh-oh.
Okay.
So it wasn't long after that that he was now back in school, which he probably shouldn't have been at, and then playing football, which he probably shouldn't have been doing, and had an episode where he overdosed, heroin overdose, accidental death, nonetheless. It was a crushing blow to not just me, but Dylan, who at the time was 13 and in eighth grade, and all those around. Mm-hmm. And I remember that's the saddest period of time, not even just the day itself, but that whole time period was crazy, in not a good way. And prior to that, though, that was in late October, October 30th, 2011. Earlier that year, on Mother's Day, my Dylan and I were playing golf with my mom and her then husband. Now they're both passed away. And afterward, Doug, that was my mom's husband, took Dylan back to their house, I think, and my mom and I stayed and had a little lunch or something. And then as I'm walking her to the car, she's like, oh, I'm getting some tests back tomorrow. I said, what test? Oh, I just haven't really been feeling all that great. I was called up the next day and says, I've got stage 4 uterine cancer.
Mm.
So there was, you know, they found an oncologist and there was some ridiculous surgery she had to have where they removed literally parts of 2 or 3 organs. So she makes it out of there somehow. And then sometime after Griffin passed away, it returned. And so she passed away in July 12th of 2012. And then around the time she passed away, my dad had some untreated untreated acid reflux, which turned into esophageal cancer. So that was about a 3-year or so slow yet never ending downturn. And so it just took, it was an emotional toll that was like one body blow after another, after another, after another. And it just felt like everybody was going that way rather than that way. Mm-hmm. And so I fell into a depression like I've never felt before. And I went about doing something that no one ever wants to do. I remember someone very close to me now talking about this as though it was an accident. And I said, no. It was very much planned out. How could it be an accident? Then some years went by. And then I got it. Then I'm thinking, nobody in their right mind would ever sit down and do that on purpose with a clear head. Because depression robs you, really, of your perspective, any perspective. And so you're literally looking at life through a pinhole, and sometimes not even that. And so you lose everyone else's, you lose your own and everyone else's. And so that unfortunately resulted in me heading down a path to want to end my life, getting a gun, going to a hotel, and actually pulling the trigger. I thought I had this whole thing researched out. And so nobody's more happy than me that I'm still here. And because of that, Dylan doesn't have to deal with losing a father. And other people don't have to deal with losing a friend or another type of family member. And you don't understand when you're in it how, for you, your suicide's over for you. Everyone else that knew you and knows you, it's just beginning. And you don't think about those things at the time. You don't think about life that way. Yeah. Now I do. And so it was a very dark time. But now it's a very, things have gone in such a way. Thankfully for the doctors involved, for family members and friends. And I couldn't be, happy is not the right word. I couldn't be more connected and satisfied with my life today. Like, this is the most complete and satisfied I've been in my life. Not that I had a bad life before, but I do feel like I have a really good perspective on me, on those around me, on life itself, and the things that are happening as a result today of that perspective.
Yeah. We're talking with Eric Kramer, the former NFL quarterback. And again, the new book out is The Ultimate Comeback, Surviving a Suicide Attempt, Conquering Depression, and Living with a Purpose. As he mentioned, it just came out here earlier, just a few weeks ago in November. Eric, I want to ask you a difficult question because I'm a journalist and there's probably somebody listening to this that is asking the same question. So forgive me in advance because there's a chance that none of us have a chance to talk with someone who's experienced what you've experienced. So my question
very
is,
good way to put that.
Is it fair? And I want you to know, I mean, this is honestly from the heart.
That's a very well thought out way to put that.
Well, it is. I guess here's have a couple of questions. And the first one is, I remember you talk about that you were in the hotel room, you'd planned this out, you bought the gun for this purpose.
Yeah.
You had made some phone calls, certain phone calls to say goodbye.
Right.
You pull the trigger, and then one of the people who you called then calls you.
Yeah.
You pull the trigger, but you're still conscious enough to answer the phone and tell. What was that moment you pull the trigger? You think it's over, but you look up and you're still in the hotel room. Is that?
So I have no recollection of anything.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay.
This is stuff that was told to me.
Right, right, right.
So this is someone I went to high school with who was a officer at the Lost Hill Sheriff's Department, which was literally right down the street from the Good Night Inn of all places to pick the Good Night Inn.
Okay.
So, Chris, apparently I texted him and he was in the New Orleans area getting one of his sons kind of set up for college. And his sons went to the same high school Griffin did.
Okay.
And so he apparently didn't get the text because I think he was, I don't know, out to a movie or something and saw it. And apparently I told him where I was and what I was going to do, which I have no recollection of doing. Mm-hmm. But apparently he called. He called. I don't know if he called the paramedics or he called the sheriff's department itself. But apparently and this is a story I got from Chris. And believe me, it was hard for me to get this out of him.
So, okay.
He's like, "Why are you asking me about this?"
Right. Yeah.
So I want to know
because most don't get a chance to do that.
Right. So apparently he called my cell phone and I didn't answer it. So he called the hotel. And they rang my room, and apparently I did pick that up. So he heard me kind of gurgling.
Yeah.
And said, "Whatever's in your hand, drop it."
Yeah.
"If there's anything in here," something like that.
Yeah.
And he did hear something, I guess, hit the floor.
Okay.
And he's like, "You know, there's somebody outside your room right now that wants to help you." So apparently I got up and walked down the steps and got in the ambulance. I don't remember any of that, but yeah. Apparently that's what happened.
At what point were you, I'm assuming, you know, and this part of the book I haven't read, I've read some parts of it. I can't wait to sit down and read the entire thing. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, I just, you know, right. A few hours ago said, "Wait a minute, you and I have known each other on the periphery for a long time. Didn't know you had the book about this." At what point did you, were you aware that you were still with us and you had survived it? Do you know how many days or weeks that was?
I really don't. I don't remember. I think there was two or so hospitals I was in, which I have no recollection of either one of them.
Yeah.
I guess I was at one of the UCLA also has a brain traumatic something, head injury. And I think I was there for a couple of weeks. And then I do remember being there. And I remember this woman coming in one day and basically just standing around my bed and we were chit-chatting for something. And who is this woman? And it was so who turned out that to be was my aunt and Anna had researched this place called CNS, Center for Neuroskills, over in the area that I live. I've as a kid probably drove by that thing 8,000 times and never knew that's what that was. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a brain rehab clinic, but there is. And so I went and they have two homes as well. So I went to live at one of them. Mm-hmm. And again, here's, you know, Anna and Patrice, both of them were near a freeway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But one was more near an off-ramp.
Okay.
So they didn't choose that one.
Okay.
Thinking maybe I would wander up the off-ramp. So it was a period of time where, you know, again, I don't recollect a lot of what happened even back then, but I'm told I didn't know why I was there.
Wow.
Like I would literally say, what am I doing here?
Wow.
And like is literally, and Anna, this is someone who I went to high school with. She was doing a lot of the looking in after me.
Okay.
And I would be telling her, why am I here? She's like, well, hasn't the doctor told you you've had a brain injury? Yeah. Nope, didn't at all. So she literally like came down one day, had the oversight doctor literally in the room with me.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted to hear him say that I'm here because I have a brain injury. Okay. And me be in the room too.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But yet still, even after that, I did not know why I was there. That's how your brain just like it went through a big deal that day or that night. And so it takes years to come back from that. Well, hold on there.
And I'm sure to your point, so much of this, again, usually when this happens, you don't come on the other side to talk about it. You don't know the brain. I mean, how would you know? How would any of us know?
Right.
It's incredible. Well, I want to get to the book. At what point did you decide, as you and I have talked before we began this, that I first saw a story? There were other stories written that I had not seen. I just happened to see an article September of 2022, and that began me reaching out to you, you know, on social media, and you know, we had each other's cell phone numbers, had lost them over time. At what point did you decide to write the book, and talk about that process in terms of the purpose of trying to get your story out there?
It really wasn't me that decided it. A friend of mine from the Lions, he just retired last year, named Bill Keenest. Bill Keenest was a longtime media relations director for the Lions, even when I was there. He had come on maybe 3 or 4 years before I got there. And so Bill had reached out to his friend, Dan Wetzel with Yahoo Sports. And so Dan Wetzel writes an article, a very generic one, but he mentioned Anna in there. Anna has some quotes and whatever. So a writer named Bill Croyle gets a hold of Anna and says, hey, do you think Eric would even think about collaborating on a book together? And Anna, you know, tells me about it. And she's like, he was very nice, very, you know, no pushy in any way. And it literally took me a while to call him because I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And just the idea of doing this, it was more than I had ever, it's something I never even thought about doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we started talking over the phone. He doesn't live here. He lives back in the Eastern time zone, back in kind of in Kentucky, but across the river from Cincinnati, I think. Mm-hmm. So, in any event, so we started talking and eventually decided, okay, I think we could do this. And so that's kind of how it came about. And then it kind of took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
And I've had friends now call me up and say, that have known me for years, like 30, 40 years, that we've communicated with, and I've told him stuff about me and his life to, you know, vice versa. He's like, I didn't know half the stuff I was reading.
Yeah.
And in a good way. And so it's just, it's really had a good response in terms of, it's got a little bit of something for everybody in there. There's some football stuff. There's the relationship I had growing up with my parents, a little bit of that. There's some Dylan Griffin, who obviously had his struggles in life. But it's also got the adult version of all that, too. And, you know, as everybody's life kind of takes place over time, so too did mine and has. And so it's just, I think it's a good life book. Mm-hmm. That when you read it, there's a lot of stuff in there that's probably applicable to most people's lives, yeah. I would say.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
And I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Yeah. No, I was going to say that I think that's, again, with me, the quick skim and the things I've kind of read and again, learning a little bit about what happened to you before, that was what I took away is that this is, there's, you know, there's a carrot there for football fans. Yeah. But I think there's so much more. And to your point, so I think that's the thing. And we're close in age. You're a few years ahead of me, but we're fairly close. And I think that the older you get, it's like the church hymn. We understand it by and, you know, understand it by and by. Right. You know, and I think that's what I took from this is in terms of there's something here that I think you're going to be as busy as you want to be. With interview requests, with book signings, with speeches, because I think there's something here because you do have a perspective that literally very few people here on this earth have. And you have a very eloquent way of being honest about that and saying, you know, you're not, you know, pointing fingers saying, hey, listen, this is what really happened. How has this been for you in terms of the therapy? I mean, I want to ask about physical therapy too, but emotional therapy, spiritual therapy. Yeah. How has this process allowed you to evolve?
It's a great question. I think it's really helped because it's allowed me really to go back and talk through and get things down that give some shape and some structure and some sense to life and my life and those around me. And you know, we've all got one. And so, you know, a lot of people would think, wow, here you've gone from high school to college to pro. How could you be depressed? Well, read this book. That's how. And yeah. And but yet there's also, you know, people that know people that are close to them that have anxiety or panic attacks or depression and don't know what to do or say. Mm-hmm. Well, there's stuff in there too, and I'll bet you I'm probably not the only person who's had kind of growing up issues with their parents.
Yeah,
I pretty much guarantee that one.
Yeah.
And yet there's a different perspective I have later in life than I had when I was 16, 17.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think and there's real people, you know, in this book and real things that do happen to those real people, me included.
Yeah.
And so I think, like I said, I think there's some there's a fair amount of humor in it. It's not terribly dark and depressing.
Yeah.
And there's sort of, as they say in life, light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But you're exactly right. We all have stuff. I don't care who you are, what you do, what color you are, where you live, much money you got. Mm-hmm. We all have stuff. It doesn't matter what your situation is. And I think you put that in a very positive way. Physical therapy. I look at you, and if I didn't know your story, I wouldn't think that anything had happened. How long did that process take? Because I know there was some reconstructive stuff that you had to do. Yeah. The doctors were fantastic. You're just as handsome now as you were 20 years ago.
Well, everything you see here, I wasn't necessarily born with. So, but like I had, you know, if you just get football wise, I had to retire because of a couple neck injuries.
Sure.
And one I had ended up having surgery for, which basically ended it. But I've had now two hips replaced, a knee replaced, and all various other, I probably had 16, 17 surgeries, and that's not counting whatever resulted from my suicide attempt.
Yeah.
And so you know, this, what you see here, like this part of my skull is not mine. And
the upper part. Yeah.
The upper part. Correct. And so I can't tell you how thankful I am to these ridiculous genius doctors. I mean, crazy. So you talk about not supposed to be here. Anna took me to a doctor's appointment one time that the surgeon was there that night. And sitting
the night
in
the night when you came in.
Yes. First,
okay. Oh, gotcha. Yep. Okay.
Now this is several months later.
Sure.
And I'm sitting in his patient room, right? Anna's in there with me, and he's leaning up against the wall, and he's asking me questions, and he's over here, and I'm talking this way, and I look up, and it's like his jaw's on the ground. I'm like, did I say something right? Wrong. He says, oh, no, I'm sorry. He goes, it's just that people that were in your condition aren't usually here telling me about it later. And I guess that night, my brain swelled up and they had to close me up and not complete the surgery that night.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, you're right. There are plenty of people that you're going to have this interview with. So I'm very happy to be here and very happy to be telling this story. And I do think that there's a lot of, a lot of people, I think, that are going to, you know, identify with this, because this is not some, you know, my life is so great, you know, you couldn't possibly attain this. It's right. Not that at all. I'm as every guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm a, you know, family person, grew up here locally. And there's not a lot of fluff to it, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't think that at all. It's a very fast read. I would suggest anybody who gets it, just sit down with a good cup of coffee beverage. And before you know it, you'll be through it. I do. You've given us a lot of time and I appreciate that. I do want to get one more question out of the way. What's next for Eric Kramer?
I'm glad you asked that. So I've got a couple projects I'm working on. One is a mental health program for kids and families that, so I'll quickly say this. So it's going to start out as an after-school program for fourth and fifth graders and then for sixth graders. And two different, one's a middle school after-school program, one's an elementary one. And picture at that age, so you're 10, 11, 12, and mostly in life, okay, most of life has been good for you up until this point. And so we want to help you as a 10, 11, 12-year-old, I help you identify what it is in people, characteristics, I mean, that you would like to be yourself, that you would like to have as a part of you.
Okay.
Meaning, on the positive side, you know, you want to be what a good friend would be, meaning you want to have your friends back, or you'd want to step in, you'd want to be a good listener, an active listener, an empathetic one. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to isolate somebody away from your friends, right? So you're going to want to do things that. So the idea is that you want to learn how to act those out. Mm-hmm. We'll create scenes that where that does happen.
Right. Okay.
And then we want to help you create. How do you approach somebody like that? To let them know, I'm building a home team of people just like you that in my life I can go to when things are good and when things might not be so good.
Right.
And these people could be a parent, a teacher, a coach, someone slightly older than yourself. You know, the idea of mentors. Of someone slightly older, the feeling that gives them to be looked up to, mm-hmm. and to give them somebody to be responsible for. Mm-hmm. And the idea that you could over time build that into, you know, through the schools, you know, because we'll get into the schools too, mm-hmm. And over time, by the time you start out at 10, by the time you graduate high school, you've been doing this now for 8 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so a good chunk of your life has been dedicated to, when you've got issues, good or bad, you've got a group that you can go to. Actually, you'll have a group that will reach out to you too.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, and parents have their own way of getting involved, and setting goals for themselves, as do your siblings. And so it's a really good program. So that's one thing. And then another is a passing camp. We're going to start out as just passing in the beginning. But I've talked to some fellow former players like me. They don't have to be pros, could be college, but they have, a good thing is for them to be passionate about teaching what they know.
Okay.
And so we'll have a sponsored camp that will make a video series, and that video series will be the basis of some mini camps for high school coaches and players, actually the ones that are on their own teams.
Okay.
And so by the time they get around to having that mini camp on the website, will already be all this video.
Okay.
And it'll, the playbook will be on there. There's a 3D playbook we'll have. So it's going to be a really good experience for the people who not only participate in it to be in that video series part, but also who ends up coming to these mini camps. So it's a very, I'm looking forward. I'm kind of in the stages these last 3 or 4 years of kind of putting all this together, and we're kind of right on the cusp from turning both of these things into a reality.
I can tell how important this is to you. Your face lights up when you're talking about this, not that it doesn't otherwise, but even more so. Once again, the book is called The Ultimate Comeback: Surviving a Suicide Attempt, Conquering Depression, and Living with a Purpose. Eric, tell people where they can go get this book.
Thank you. You can find it on Amazon, and it came out, like you said, earlier in November, and it's going really well so far. Thank you.
Good. Well, hopefully more people hear this. We will do our part to get the word out to as many people as possible, because again, we all have stuff, and we all need to hear from someone who has conquered that, as you say, and it's a very fast read. Eric, time has gone by way too fast. I could talk to you for hours, but I don't want to keep you. I hope we can keep in touch, and we wish you the very best. Anything we can do on our end to help you with this, you know, I'm just a phone call away.
I really appreciate that. This has been great so far. And Larry, I really appreciate the time and attention you've given this book in particular, and getting back in touch has been awesome. So thank you.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it. And we will renew our connection via text message, whatever, and maybe a golf or lunch is down the future. Eric, thanks so much.
Very good. I love it. Thanks, Larry. All
right. Take care. Thank you. Eric Kramer, once again, he's the former NFL quarterback, 10 years in the NFL, but again, more importantly, the legacy he is leaving and about to leave far exceeds anything that he did on the football field. The Ultimate Comeback: Surviving a Suicide Attempt, Conquering Depression, and Living with a Purpose. It's a book that's out right now. You can find it on Amazon. And for everyone listening to this, we certainly appreciate your time. Stay with us. We'll continue after a timeout.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly 2-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in 6 states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com, and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com, and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Thank you so much for listening to Larry Smith talk to Eric Kramer. And again, if you're interested in reading more about what happened and more about Eric Kramer, you can purchase his book on Amazon.com, The Ultimate Comeback: Surviving a Suicide Attempt, Conquering Depression, and Living with a Purpose. Thank you so much for listening, and go Illini.